Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patrone. Normally, I start out the program and I say it's been a crazy week. A lot of things we can't understand are happening, and I light into them and I explore them with you. This week, the approach, the opening is going to be a bit different. There are a multitude of things that are occurring in this country, forget the world, that are occurring in this country that we don't know about, most of which we do not know about. Much of what I'm going to talk about tonight will be new to you because our media, our American media, whether it's television, whether it's the printed news, the newspapers and magazines, whether it's the radio, they do not share this information with us. And the whole purpose of tonight's show is to explore with you, open the door to some items that you're not aware of, again, I say, and perhaps these things will give you food for thought. We're going to start with the police in this country, the police. You're all aware we've got problems. We've had problems with increased activity over the last 10 years. In the last 1 to 2 years, it's been horrible. Blacks being shot, some police officers being shot. It's like there is a war out there. It's the police against the public. It's the only way to describe it, whether you're black or white. It's the policeman against society, which I find strange because police officers they're sworn to protect society. That's us, to protect and safeguard society. Again, we are society. And instead of being concerned for us, who they are sworn to protect, they seem more concerned for themselves. Example, this past week, Topeka, Kansas, the heartland of America. A new rule is being followed by the Topeka Police Department. This is a rule which they originated and decided upon themselves, the police department. The city council, the common council, whatever it's called in Topeka, the Topeka mayor had nothing to do with this. This is a rule that the police department itself has initiated. And here's what the rule is. Anytime a car is stopped, whether for a traffic violation or anything else, everyone in the car, whether driver or passenger, must raise their hands as if they're being held up. Raise your hands, and they must lift their hands. It's like, you know, in the old West, stick them up. And if they don't stick their hands up, then there's going to be real problems because the police officers are going to do this now, put up your hands, to make sure that no one has a gun, obviously, but more to make sure, that, as they say, and this is the justification for it by the Topeka police officers, we want to go home at night to our family, and we're going to do everything that we can to make sure we go home to our family. So everyone has to put their hands up. Police officer is going to say, put your hands up. The hands are going to go up. This is, this doesn't sound right to me, and it doesn't sound like the American way. Again, they're out there to protect us, but they don't. The psyche of the American police officer today, he's not covering his ass. He's protecting his ass. I take the opportunity, and I have many opportunities here in Key West, to talk to police officers from all over the United States. Everyone seems to come at some point in time to Key West on vacation. I'm out, I'm out in the town at night, and I'm in some bars or restaurants, and every time I run into a police officer from somewhere in the United States, I engage him in conversation. They're a little reluctant at first, but then they get into it with me, and I'm shocked because every time I hear the same thing, we must be quick with the gun to protect ourselves. We want to be sure we're going to live, see our children graduate from school, marry, and all that sort of thing, which is noble and fine. But they have a job to protect us, which I know is taking a secondary position as to what they should be doing. So that's what they're doing in Topeka, Kansas. Would you believe it? I'm going to stay with police work for a little bit longer now. All right, let's talk about tickets. You're driving along, you get stopped, you're speeding, you're doing 65 in a 50-mile zone or a 40-mile zone, and you're going to get a traffic ticket. And whether it's a traffic ticket or a number of arrests, over the years, all of us had to think there has to be a quota system. There has to be a quota system. Now, police never owned up to a quota system. Police departments never owned up to a quota system. But if you followed these things, and I did as a lawyer sometimes, you would find that in the last week of the month, more tickets were given out for traffic violations than in the beginning of the month. And the reason being, each cop had a quota regarding traffic tickets, and he was running behind, and he had to catch up. Now, it doesn't seem proper to me to have to give tickets out because you must to reach a certain number. That means the police officers are going to give out tickets that aren't justified. Very simple. That's the way it works. Okay, now, where do we go from here? I want to tell you about Craig Matthews. He's a hero police officer, a hero cop in New York City. He had some stature. He complained to his superiors about traffic and arrest quotas. Traffic and arrest quotas. The police department, the New York City Police Department, retaliated against him. They gave him lousy assignments. This is a hero cop. He's supposed to be, you know, he's not supposed to be in Coney Island. I don't know where they put him. He's supposed to be in downtown Manhattan. This is a big man. He's qualified. He's experienced. But they gave him lousy duty spots, and they just made his life overall miserable. And a man who had gotten perfect evaluations up to this time, he's a hero police officer, remember, is now getting poor evaluations every period. Well, he said, I'm not going to take this anymore. And he sued. And he sued. He sued in federal court. He sued his employer, the city of New York. Well, the federal court in New York City threw his case out. They said, as a police officer, you don't have a right to sue your employer. If you were damaged, and this isn't a damage we think qualifies, there's workers' compensation, but this isn't even workers' compensation. Well, Matthews didn't take it sitting down. He appealed to the Second Circuit in New York City. And the Second Circuit turned the case around to his benefit. They said he does have a right to sue. Why does he have a right to sue? Being a policeman does not take away from him his First Amendment right to free speech. And when he speaks about this quota system and how it was used because he complained about it, that those complaints were used against him to his detriment, he is speaking as a citizen. And just because he's a police officer, he doesn't lose certain constitutional rights. So, the reason I tell you this story, and this just came out, this broke this past week, is because it's an acknowledgement that the quota system exists. Now we go to the state of Nevada. This all happened this past week, too. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Nevada, the Supreme Court being the highest court in the state of Nevada, the Chief Justice being the big mucky muck, not only does he run that court, the Supreme Court, he runs the entire court system in the state. He appeared before a Senate committee, a state Senate committee, because his court system needed money. They were running out of money. He said that if we don't get $700,000 by May 1st, we have to close the court system down. He was running short in the fiscal year. If we don't get $700,000, we're running $700,000 short, I got to close down the court system. Well, he was asked, why are you $700,000 short? You've never been short before. This has never been a problem. Why all of a sudden $700,000? And he said the answer is simple. The police are not giving enough traffic tickets out. You heard me. They're not giving enough traffic tickets out. They were giving out, we base our budget on, and the money that's going to be available, on the number of traffic tickets that are given out. Each officer knows how many have to be given out. And if they aren't given out, then we don't take in enough in fines to support the court system. And that's what's happened here. Not because the police got lazy, but for some reason this past year, the police have been focusing on violations that are likely to lead to automobile accidents, automobile accidents. And so, here's a chief judge of the Supreme Court of the state of Nevada saying there is a quota system and it's working to our detriment now. There are not enough. I don't have enough money to run my court system because they didn't give out enough traffic tickets, and so we didn't take enough money in fines. Which now brings me to, and I'm still staying with this quota system thing because I think it's very, very interesting. Today in the United States, the average speeding ticket costs you $150, $160. There was a time it was $5 and $10, $20, $40, $50. It's up to $150, $160. That is the average in the United States. That is a lot of money to a working man, you know, who's barely able to support his family. He's got to come up with $150 for a speeding ticket. That's heavy. That's a cross on his back. That's a lot of money to the average American family today. All right. Now, so he goes to the police station. He goes to the city court judge, or wherever the judge is on the traffic tickets. He pleads guilty. He gets fined. He can't pay the fine. Well, the courts in this country are pretty liberal in this regard. They'll give him a certain amount of time to pay. If he doesn't pay, what's happening now, and I'm talking about privatization of certain the court systems and privatization of jails, the courts now, they've hired an outside company. It's privatization of the collection of the fines, and they give these unpaid traffic tickets to this group, this company, and say, you guys go collect it for us, okay? And the contract they have with this outside company provides that this outside company can charge, add on to this $150, $160 a month, because they got to get a fee out of this. They don't take it out of the fine. It's on top of the fine in addition to, so that's added on. Plus, they're very smart. This is all over the United States, my friends. These private companies retain also charge each case, that means each traffic ticket, traffic violator, a certain amount of dollars for the overhead this private company has in collecting the money. Now, if it reaches a certain point where they don't pay, every month that they're behind, more is added on as a penalty. They get better interest than the mafia used to get. I'm very serious in saying this. They get better interest than the mafia. So there comes a time where that $150, and this has happened in the United States this past year, that $150 becomes $1,100. This is a guy who was out of work when he got the ticket. He's still out of work. And what do you think they do with him? They put him in jail because he won't pay the $1,100. He hasn't got the money. And the laws that permit this privatization of bill collecting and privatization of jails and everything else permits these bill collectors to go to the judge and say, look, gee, judge, we tried to collect the fine. We worked out payment plans with him. He never lived up to those plans. And with all the expenses added on, he now owes us $1,100. We want him jailed. And the judge jails him. And this guy sits in jail for a long time, because he can't come up with $1,100, and he can't work to make the money to pay the fine. Which now brings me to, there are judges involved in each of these cases. Why do the judges put up with this? Why do the court staffs put up with this? Why is this problem developing and getting greater in the United States? And I'll tell you simply why. Money is very important. Everyone's broke. The judges and their staffs generally receive their pay. Their salary is paid out of fines collected. Their salaries are paid out of fines collected. The overhead for their courtrooms is paid out of the fines collected. So if they say, hey, you guys shouldn't be doing this, it doesn't sound American to screw this guy and put him in jail for $1,100. It's a debtor's prison, but it's legal under our law in this country now. It's just not right. You can't do this. Then they're not going to get paid. The judge isn't going to get paid. He isn't going to get his $140,000 that year. It's going to be short. He's going to have to lay some people off with the courtroom staff. He's not going to be able to pay certain bills for paper and things like that that they need. And so they close their eyes. Everyone closes their eyes because we can't screw up the system. We need the money. It's got to be paid. And they don't care how much it is. They keep quiet because they want to get paid. All for real, my friends, all for real. Which now brings me, I'm going to stay with policemen once more. They are an exciting topic these days. They're an interesting topic, not exciting, interesting. They are a sad topic, and I'm going to tell you a sad story right now. We are in Camden County, which is part of or near Philadelphia, and we're dealing with a Camden County police officer, Lieutenant Benito Gonzalez. Lieutenant Benito Gonzalez. He is off duty. He goes into a Starbucks. He sits down at a table. He pulls his shorts off, down and starts masturbating. He's jerking off in front of the whole store. Now, I don't know. I would assume police also they hold themselves to a certain moral standard. And that's pretty way out for a police officer. I don't care, he's on his own time to go masturbate in front of everybody in a Starbucks. Remember, old people, average age people, and young children go into Starbucks. I mean, my 12-year-old granddaughter, I can recall, in Boston, she had credit cards to go into Starbucks and buy something. Okay. They suspend him. He's still suspended, by the way. But he's suspended with pay. And it took a whole year to find out what his crime was going to be. He finally pled guilty to lewdness. Lewdness, okay? And he's still working, but he's not working. He's suspended, but he's getting paid because they don't know how to handle him. Apparently, the charge doesn't get him, plea of guilty doesn't get him kicked off the force. And they're just not sure how to handle this, the police department. And so he's still sitting there after showing himself publicly. And this just is not right. And these are the people who are protecting us, showing us the way we should conduct ourselves in the world and so forth. Okay, that was interesting, wasn't it? Now we're going to go, I want to talk about GMOs. I haven't talked about GMOs in a while. Genetically modified organisms. You know, they're making all these super duper seeds in laboratories, and they're growing all these fruits and vegetables, even wild stock, sheep, cows, and so forth. And then we're eating this stuff, and who knows if we're ever going to, in 10 years from now, how many people are going to have cancer. Well, people have gotten cancer already, and not directly from the GMOs. Monsanto, the biggest GMO country in the world, came up with a pesticide several years ago called Roundup. Most of you are familiar with Roundup. Well, turns out Roundup was bad stuff, and it may have killed the bugs on the fruits and vegetables that were growing, but it also ended up killing the people who were working in the fields and some of the people who ate that stuff. Why? Because Roundup causes cancer. Now, I'm not talking about one or two isolated cases. Monsanto has farms all over Central and South America, and they have factories and so forth. Several Central American and South American countries, the countries themselves have outlawed the use of Roundup and also genetically modified organisms, period. They don't want to know anything about it anymore. This past year, Russia, Putin himself, he said, we're not going to have any GMOs, no more GMOs in this country, no more Roundup, no more anything. I'm going to tell you, the only country in the world that is strong with GMOs is the United States. And Putin said, I'm throwing them out. He said, and I don't care if the United States wants to poison their people. We're not going to do it here. Can you imagine? I mean, it's got to be real bad. Okay, now, there are people in this world who speak for these companies that do GMOs. These are scientists. They got PhDs from the greatest universities in the world. They look at global warming. They look at oil companies. They look at GMOs, and they say there ain't no global warming. Oil production doesn't hurt anything, and the GMOs are not dangerous at all, and Roundup isn't dangerous. So we have a Dr. Moore, his first name slips my mind, Dr. Moore, and he is one of these scientists. He doesn't work directly for these companies. He's a consultant. He's hired to give his opinion. Interestingly, when he first got out of school and got into business, he was against everything. He was against the oil companies, he was against the GMOs. But now he's on their side. Money talks. That's the way it is. Anyhow, he is being interviewed on a TV show in France. And he said, nothing wrong with Roundup. You could drink a glass of it. It would not hurt you. This is the pesticide that there's no question has been established all over the world is causing cancer. People who use it, who inhale it, and people are getting it from the foods they eat. He says, there's no problem. That's a crock. No problem at all. Well, the guy interviewing him was smart. He had a bottle of Roundup, and he pulled it up and put it on the desk. He says, well, if it doesn't cause a problem, would you take a drink right now? Twice Dr. Moore was asked to drink some Roundup, and twice he refused. Finally, he saw he was in a corner. He got up, and he told the interviewer, he says, you're not going to do that to me. You think I'm crazy? I'm going to drink that. You think I'm crazy? I'm going to drink that stuff. And he walked off the set. He refused to be interviewed any further. Did you read about Dr. Moore in the American newspapers or on, did you hear about it on television or the radio? I think that's a most interesting story, and I don't believe you have. It was only carried, as I recall, the major news media carrying it were Huffington Post and Newsweek. Nobody else touched it. All right, some very small liberal left-wing papers did, or you know, publications that don't have much many people reading them. But it wasn't covered big time, and most of you have, probably all of you, didn't hear about it. But it's newsworthy that the man's bluff was called. He's a guy saying, this crap's good to drink, don't worry about it. And when it was offered to him, he refused. Then he says, do you think I'm crazy? I'm not going to drink that stuff. All right, these are the things that are bothering me, that we don't know about these things because it's all important. Which now brings me to Bill Gates. We all know Bill Gates, great American, never finished college, made a hell of a lot of money through the internet, retired now at a very early age. My recollection is that every year when the list of who are the richest men in the world comes out, he is one or two. He is a multi-billionaire, okay? Big time. He does a blog, like I do a blog every day. He does a blog less frequently, maybe every couple of weeks, once a month, whenever the mood hits him. But in a blog he did recently, he said, and this is interesting, follow me, that in 3 years, China used as much concrete in 3 years as the United States did in the entire 20th century. That's right. In 3 years, and the years were 2011, 2013, China used more concrete than we did in the United States from 1900 through 1999. Wild, isn't it? Which means, and the reason I bring this up, it means that China's building things. They are. They built the middle class in China. They've got an infrastructure. They've got decent roads, okay? They've got great schools. The roof doesn't leak at their school, and their bridges don't fall apart. Now, we need new roads, new bridges, and new schools. And the way to do it, and Obama's been trying to do it since the day he was elected 6 years ago, is let's get a bill, let's get the money for the government to go out and do these things. Because if the government does all these things, fix the road, fix the bridges, etc., people are working, people are making money, the economy will come back swiftly. Well, the Republicans, they know it's going to work. They have refused to do it, though, for 6 years. And I assume it is because of their hatred for Obama, which is one of the strangest things in our country's history. So, there's China. They're building everything. We're not building anything. And that's why they used more concrete in 3 years than we used in 100 years. There's another. Right now, China produces and uses 60% of the world's cement. 60% of the world's cement is made and used in China. There's one other thing here. We know that global warming. China is the biggest polluter in the world. The United States, we do pretty good ourselves at polluting, but China's the big gun out there. Well, when you make cement, and I've already explored with you and shown you how the Chinese are making a lot of cement. What happens is there are carbon dioxide emissions, and the emissions go up. They increase with the amount of cement that's being produced. And because they're producing so much cement, that's one of the major reasons they have this global warming problem. They got all this carbon dioxide in the air, and that's a bad situation that comes out of that. Now they've got to cut back. We've already agreed to cut back, and they've agreed to cut back. We have some agreement we came to last year, but we have to cut back before they cut back. It's one of those deals. Now that brings me to what's the time here, my friends? How are we doing? Oh, we got 4 minutes. I want to talk about federal officials, primarily employees of the Drug Enforcement Agency. They're going after the drug cartels, the DEA, Drug Enforcement Agency. There have been a series of sex and abuse scandals, okay, that were only revealed recently. Now, let's start with how's this story. There were a number of DEA employees who had top secret clearance. They went to sex parties, how nice, prostitutes there, everything paid for, including the prostitutes, by Colombia drug cartels. Or there was the DEA assistant regional manager somewhere, and he was retiring, and they had a party in the offices, the federal offices. And at that party, there were paid hookers, not just for him, paid hookers for everybody, okay? And somehow, this I don't understand, he got away with it, everything got paid for, was put on the books. Taxpayers paid for the party, paid for the hookers, and, you know, they doctored up the books because they weren't going to take it out of their own pockets, apparently. Now, what's even more interesting is you remember, what's her name, Monica Lewinsky. One of the big problems President Clinton had was that he had sex with her in a government office, you know, the White House. You can't do it. You can't do it. So we've got that. Then we've got other problems where supervisors in Colombia, American DEA agents are receiving money, expensive gifts, and weapons from drug cartel members, okay? Prostitution is not being punished. These DEA agents are getting away with it. And why? Because the hierarchy in Washington decided this was too hot an issue for them to handle, and they kicked it down to a lower management level, all right? And they said this is a local management issue, and you'll have to deal with it. No police officer who has been found to be screwing around with prostitutes, drug cartel paid, has been suspended for more than 14 days. Terrible, 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 terrible. Well, I think my time is running here. My time is running, and that's the last story I'm going to tell you. I've got more of these, but time has run out. I thank you for joining me again this week. I enjoy doing this show. I enjoy coming up with these items. I trust you enjoy listening to them, hearing them. I hope, and this is my goal, that to some extent, it does open up your mind to think. You don't have to agree with what Lewis is saying, but you start thinking about these issues. What I am saying is food for thought. If that happens, I am happy. This program also, tell your friends about this program. My numbers are building, and I'd like them to build more. This program is covered, is carried, archived on Black Talk Radio, on YouTube, and on my Facebook page. Facebook page for Key West Lou. I wrote a book. I finish with this every week, The World Upside Down. If you like my show, buy the book, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, The World Upside Down. If you don't like this show, don't buy the book because you will not enjoy it. Again, thank you for joining me. I look forward to being with you next week.